ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Sanhedrin is dedicated by Mr. Zisha Lipschitz in honor of Rabbi Yaakov Metz.
Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Dalet. On the Omer Aleph of this Daf, there is an Agadat Sugya which concludes with the following Maimer Chazal. B'machashakim hoishivani kemei sei oilom, the posik in Sefer Eicha that says that the Ibishta placed us in a finish in a darkness, kemei sei oilom, like those who are dead, the deceased. Omer Rav Yirmiya ze Talmudo shel Bovel. So Rav Yirmiya said, this refers to the Talmud Bavli. So the Talmud Bavli is referred to in the Gemara with a very apparently harsh and negative depiction with the pasuk in Eicha, b'machashakim hoishivani kemei sei oilam. What's with that? What's the very, very harsh depiction? So Rashi says, b'machashakim hoishivani, so Rashi, she'ein noichim ze im ze, v'talmudam sofeik b'yodam. So Rashi indicates, in other words, that the people of Bavel, the Melchum of Bavel, and noichim ze ze, they don't learn with each other with a noichius, to learn with each other with a proper appreciation, a proper respect, apparently, for one the other. Instead, they're constantly ganging up, bombarding the other. So therefore, they don't end up with a chlorkite in learning the Talmudim Sofek Biyodam, and therefore it's depicted in the Agadat, the language of the Gemara, with a fin finish, the darkness, the Machashakam Hoshivani. This Rashi is presumably based on the Gemara in the 7th Perek of Bamatzia, which speaks about the sinus that Reb Zeira wanted if he fasted 40 Tanesim to forget his learning when he went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to acquire the Eretz Yisrael Dikaderech HaLimud and forget the Bavel Dikaderech HaLimud. And Ashova, there is Meirach on this Inyan that in Bavel they were not Noyach one to each other in Halach. And there's Etlech HaMemorech Hazal along these lines. So according to Rashi, it appears that there is a negative, very negative actually, depiction of Talmud Bavli in our Gemara. The Yad Ramah learns differently. The Yad Ramah says, Mach Shakam Oishivani, that Talmud Bavli is compared to darkness. L'feyesh lo izokter, Taimim amukim utzfunim kemayim amukim. Because the Talmud Bavli is very, very deep. It's very, very deep. It has very deep reasoning. Taimim amukim utzfunim, hidden. Things that are not self-evident or obvious what the reasoning is. Kemayim amukim, like deep waters. So in other words, according to the Yad Ramah, if anything, it appears to be a positive. It seems the Talmud Bavli is exceptionally deep. It's very, very deep. And it's so deep that it's not readily evident, not readily available to understand, to access the Sforas, and you have to work on it very, very stark to understand it. And according to that, it would appear to be Lamal Yusuf, the Talmud Bavli, described in the expression of Machshakam Oishivani, Lefi the Adamah. But this Shaila, whether this Gemara means to say something very negative or something perhaps positive, actually, plays out in other Mayim Mekomis. And I want to go through a little bit the two Derochim that we find in Gedolim in this Gemara, which has actually been somewhat extensively discussed. In the Ritva, Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Zayin, he brings down a Tshuvas HaRambam, which the Rambam gets into this Gemara. The Rambam appears to have been asked over there, if Taka, it's true that the Talmud Bavli is like a finish, it's like a darkness, Machshakam Oishivani, and Rashi says, like we said, that Talmud is Sofik B'yodom, we don't even arrive at a Klarkite. If that's the case, then why do we learn Talmud Bavli? It seems that's what our derech is. We're mad if Bavli over Yerushalmi, or we learned the Bavli b'derech Klal, that's the Masoret of Klal Yisrael. Why? I mean, faket. If this Gemara seems to be saying, whatever it's saying, is Talmud Bavli, Talmud Shabavel, apparently contrasted to Talmud Eretz Yisrael, the Yerushalmi. So apparently, according to you learn Rashi, you learn Kepshutai, it's something very negative over here. So why Taka learn the Talmud Bavli? Maybe we should learn Yerushalmi. So the Ritva over there brings down the Tshuvas HaRambam, that the Rambam was Mechalik within the different doiros that they were in Bavel. And the Rambam says over there that this Gemara refers to the earlier doiros when the Yidden were in Bavel. And in the earlier doiros, there was a lot of tzoros out there and tremendous persecutions. And Mele, therefore, they were constantly boichim machmas hashmodos. And Rambam brings different riots from different Gemaras about this. They constantly had to run away, constantly running away from the persecutions. It was very, very difficult to learn with the Yeshiva Das and with the Menuchas HaNefesh. And this Gemara was said, of course, by Rabbi Yirmiya, Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Zeh Talmud HaShabavel. And the Rambam over there demonstrates that in that Kufa, the earlier Kufa of the Amoraim, in the time of Rabbi Yirmiya, there was different gezeiros from the going, which made it very difficult to learn with the Yishuv HaDaz. Masha'en kein zokter Rambam, the later on doiros, when the Yidden no longer had the same level of persecutions anymore, ahakach zognis gabro ha-Torah b'bovel, that later on doiros, the Torah became very shtak nis gabro b'bovel, and kolshkin b'mei Rav Ashi, who was zoicha to gadlus, and to Toiru Gdulu Mokam Echo, the Rambam quotes the Gemara that Ravashi was Zoicha to. So Meila Ravashi was able to learn with the Menuchas HaNefesh, and his time, the Amiroyim of his time could learn, and there was a tremendous starkeit, a tremendous strength in the learning, Dr. Rambam, and that's the Talmud Bavli that we have today as a product of the Shpeta, the later Doiros of the Talmud Bavli. So that's how the Rambam, he understands his Gemara Taka to be very negative. It's Mavu and Rambam that this Gemara is not the, so to speak, the Soif Pasuk on Talmud Bavli, it's the earlier Talmud Bavli, the Kufa of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and at that time the Talmud Bavli was Taka dark and finished, but that's not the Talmud Bavli we have, which is the Talmud Bavli of after his Gabrus, after the tremendous strengthening of the learning. That's the Rambam in the Tshuva brought down by the Ritva. There is a very different mahalach on this, a big arichus on it from the Netziv. The Netziv is meirach on this in the Hemek Dover and Chumash in two places, and Be'emes, the truth is, he's even more meirach on it in his very important Yesoidistik HaKdoma to the Hemek Shail on the Shiltas. And I want to say over the basic Yesoidis of the Netziv that he says very strongly that he understands this Gemara to be a positive, Machshakam Yeshivani, Kameisei Oilam, and that's Talmud Bavli, and the way he explains it. I'll go through his derech somewhat Bekitzer, but I want to get the Yesoid of the Netziv's Derech down. The Netziv says in these different Mekoymois, in the Hemek Dover, in the Hemek Shaila, so he says that Be'emes we always had from the earliest years of the Nesinas HaTorah, of the Matan Torah, that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael in two ways. One way he refers to as the Derech of the Luchos Rishonos, and the second way he refers to as the Derech of the Matan of the Luchos Shniyos. And these are two very different Drochem and Limud, the way the Netziv learns, which was carried through in Klal Yisrael, B'meshach HaDoiros, the Luchos Rishonos Dika Derech HaLimud, and the Luchos Shniyos Dika Derech HaLimud. He explains it as follows. He brings down the Ibn Ezra in Parashas Kisisa, who brings the name of the Goin. Ibn Ezra brings one of the Goinim that said that the Luchos Shniyos Mechubodim Min HaRishonos, that the Luchos Shniyos were more Nichbod than the Rishonos, they were more Mechubodik, and the Goin brings a Pesaraya to this thing. The Goyen says that Luchos Rishonos were broken. Luchos Shniyos were not broken. Luchos Rishonos that were given on Yom Choyol on Shavuos B'Tammuz. It was a weekday. Luchos Shniyos were given on the very Heilige Tog of Yom Kippur. Luchos Shniyos, it says, Man Erichon Yimechol Man Yitavloch. The word Yitavloch is written in the Luchos Shniyos and not in the Luchos Rishonos. So all these are different simonim, according to the Goyen, from the Goyenim, that the Ibn Ezra brings down, that says that the Luchos Shniyos are more Nichbod. The Ibn Ezra writes upon this statement of the Goin, Ve'ela Kedivei Hachaloim, Loi Mailin Ve'loi Meridin. That's a lashon of the totally, totally machzer avek, completely sweeps it away, that there's no such a thing whatsoever. Zok Ibn Ezra, the emes is exactly the opposite, that the Luchos Rishonos were Masei Eloi Kimhu, and the Luchos Shniyos were Psal Lecha, they were Masei Yedei Moshe. Avada, Zok Ibn Ezra, the Luchos Shniyos can never compare to the Luchos Rishonos. Zok Tavdem the Netziv, that even though it seems to be that it makes a lot of sense what the Ibn Ezra said about it, that the Luchos Rishonos were greater than Masi Yedei Elikim, and etc. But Afal Pikein Avada, a statement from a Goin, one of the Goinim, is impossible to machavek, to just dismiss it. Besides that, he brings Etlechem and Mori Chazal that actually support it. He brings down, for example, a Medrash Rabba in Shir HaShirim that says, Smoiloi Tachas Leroyshi Vimini Techapkeini, so the Smoil in the Loshen Hamoshel over there, the Ebishter, the Smoil, it says that's Luchos Rishonos, the Medrash says, Yemini Techapkeini, the right hand of the Ebishter Kavayochel, that's Luchos Shniyim, that's really a Raya, in other words, that the Das Chazal is that at least from some perspective, the Luchos Shniyim is really greater. He brings different Mori Chazal that appear to support this thing. He brings a different Chazal that says in the Shmois Rabba, that the Shmois Rabba says that the Ebishter says to Moshe, Vibalt, that after the Luchos Rishonos, so you fasted 120 days, that's the Sach HaKol number of days of Shuas until Yom Kippur. So you fasted 120 days. You were betzar, chayecho, that you're not going to lose out, because the Luchos Rishonos only had a Seres Hadibrois, Luchos Shniyos, I'm going to give you Medrish, Halochos, Va'agodos, you're going to have a ganze, tremendous Tereshal Peh with the Luchos Shniyos, and it's indicated over there in the Medrish, in other words, that's a great gain that Moshe and Klal Yisrael got from the Luchos Shniyos. So the Tziv says, Avada, we have to work to understand, of course, there's a tremendous amount to Luchos Rishonos, which is unique to the Rishonos, it's Masei Elikim. But Afal Pi Kein, Zokter, there is a tremendous mile to Luchos Shniyos, which is independent and unique unto itself. The Kitzur Nimrod, the basic derech of the Netziv is as follows. The Netziv says that the two oifana of Matan Torah is, one of them is the Torah that's a matonah me'eis Hashem, and the Yidden that get this Torah, they just learn Torah Hashem. They learn the Torah Shebiksav, they learn the dinim of the Torah, and if they have any shailas, so they get a siyata deshmaya to medama milsa la milsa, just so to speak, instinctively, intuitively, just to understand which din that they have masayra, they should stel to, they should make a dimin to, and intuitively they understand to compare everything, and so meila, they just get the Torah, every kula matonim eis Hashem, they don't have to put in too much work, too much igir rabba, too much horavanya, breaking the heads, kashas, trutzim, roshoys, you can meet the shayna jeshbeim, they don't have to work on all those things, they just get the entire body of knowledge set on the table the way they're able to give it, and any time that they have a child, they'll know automatically and understand intuitively what din to shtel tzu and how to make the parallel. That's the gedher zokter of luchos rishonis, and that's what the luchos rishonis amasei lekim heima. Zokter, when Klal Yisrael was choite, so then it was nigzer on them with the different chaton they did in the Deher Midbar, there's going to be a long mahalach, and they're going to have to go begolios and different golosin, they're going to have to go in different igios and different choyshechs and the different kinds of tzoros, and it's not going to have the constant siyata deshmai and the constant oyim and hashamayim zokter that the Ibishter is going to give them a constant ability to just know instinctively and intuitively with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Ziyat Deshmaya, to know how to medam milsa l'milsa and to just know which din it is and how the din of the Torah apply. From then on, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to be a horavanya. You're going to have to break your head and ask kashis and steers. You're going to have to find to your soidos and trutzim and make your soidos out of the kashis that you're going to ask, which are going to leg avek hanochos, and which will set up certain klolim and be able to make nudinim out of them. You're going to have to find yud gimel midas haton edreshes bohem and snakes on malchishim zezeh and kosav ashlishi, and you're going to have a whole after boyos, your soidos and a ganza binyonim of a teresh v'alpeh, and only duch them are you going to be able to pass kandinim and to understand the answer to shailos when they come up. On the one hand, Zokter Avad, it's not maaseh maaseh yedei lekim. That's the madreig of luchay shniyos Zokter, it was given together with medish and alochis and agodos, it was given with teresh v'alpeh, which can only come about by the menshes, the seichel ha'odom, by breaking our head over limud ha'Torah, over working and not understanding and going through a finstinish and not understanding and then finally reaching an understanding. So it's taka missing something. It's maaseh yedei moishah Zokter, it's not maaseh yedei lekim. But from this thing in the idoch Zokter, go for the fact that the luchay shniyos maaseh yedei moishah, that itself is meramis to this koyach that Klal Yisrael is given together with the luchay shniyos, the koyach of being able to boyos Torah on our own by taka not understanding and by going through a finstinish machshaka moishivani. He quotes our Gemara machshaka moishivani kimei say oilam. So the zet hamudas obovel Zokter netziv and a chanami. Perhaps if we never would have been choyte, we would just have the oil, we would just have the luchay shniyos, we wouldn't have had any choyshech. The yinom machshaka moishivani. But we bal that once Klal Yisrael was choyte that they had midbar was nig that we have to go to golos and bovel. It was nig that we have to go through different tzoros and all the different doiros and all the different mekaymes in the world. So the only way that Klal Yisrael will be able to take the Torah with them when they don't have the tremendous oyer of the Gilui Shechina, they don't have the tremendous Yat Deshmaya, the only way we'll be able to have the Torah is if we know how to break our heads and ask the kashas and say the tzutzim and legavek the yesoidois and the hanochois and the all which constitutes the Talmud Bavli. That's what Talmud Bavli is, Zokter. The Talmud Bavli is the Horavanya. That's mitoich haChoyshech, that even though we started with Choyshech, afapikim with a zoicha to arrive at the Oyer HaTorah. Siv says that that's the correct understanding of this Gemara Machshaka Moishivani. Zokter, he says very strongly that the Gemara does not mean to say something negative about the Talmud Bavli. Rather, what the Gemara means to bring is a filu machshakim. Even when the Klal Yisrael went through different choyshechs and different finzinish and different tzoros and all the different matzovim, the circumstances that the Yidden were in, all the doiros, afapikim, we always were able to be zoicha to arrive at Torah. We were always able to have the Torah guide us, the Torah led us, the Torah carried us everywhere we went. And that's the koyach of Talmudah Shabavel, which carried us through all the choyshech. And Zokter, he says, that's the madreig of luchay shniyos, that the goy meant over there to say that luchay shniyos on a high madreig, if I can't goofa, in them that it's Masi Yidei Moshe, and Moshe put the kishkis and the koyches into the luchay shniyos, that itself is what carries us to this day, and that's the Talmudah Shabavel under the Gemara. The Mishnah on the bottom of the Omud brings down the Machloikis, the Meir and the Chachomim, by a person who says to the other Baldin, Neman Olai Abo Neman Olai Avicha. In other words, even though these people, my father, your father, would ordinarily be possible to act as Dayonim, or Neman Olai Shloisha Roye Bokar, as three people who are ignorant that are Roye Bokar, and they be'etzim would normally not be qualified as Dayonim, but I'm accepting them upon myself, and I'm saying that I'll accept Nemanim Olai, and I'll accept their Psak as Dayonim. So there's a Machloikis in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and and the Chachomim whether he could back out of that. Rameyer says that he could back out. The Chachomim any Yocholachsaboy, and the Chachomim say that once you accept it upon yourself, you're not able to back out. Some soif, the Gemara discusses that there could be a chiluk between Koydin Gemaradin and Acha Gemaradin if you want to back out before the Bezdin rendered the verdict. After they rendered the verdict, the Gemara says you can make this chiluk, and the Gemara actually paskins this chiluk and says that that would be the Das Chachomim. That's the Gemara's maskana, that within the Das Chachomim we would say that you really could back out if the din wasn't nigmar, if it wasn't completed. But after the din was completed, so then it's no longer that the mensch is able to back out. There are a couple of nekudos that are important to discuss about this mission. The first one is a question that you must ask, an important question to ask, and the answer is not so obvious, but I want to say over a couple of my mekoymis that are negaya to this question. The question is this: when we say that yocholach zaboy, Reb Meir says, the person says, I'm going to accept upon myself the reya bokor or avicho, so they're going to be the diet, and you're allowed to back out. Or the Gemara even comes out to hold that you could back out as well, if it's koydin the Gemara din, if the Gemara din wasn't paskin yet, the verdict wasn't handed down yet by the Bezdin, then you could back out. So what's the pshat in this that you could back out? Is it the pshat that the reason you could back out is because the acceptance wasn't an acceptance at all in the first place? It was garnished. It was nothing. There was no kinyan. There was nothing, like we'll discuss coming up. And since he didn't make any kinyan or anything, so fashteitzach he could back out because he never and underwent any kind of an obligation and a hishtabdus in the first place. That's one way to learn. Or is a pshat that really there is some sort of a hishtabdus, and if you don't back out, then be'emes kolzman, you don't back out, you're really stuck with it. Nor was then there is a koyach that's upon you. But even though there's a koyach that you accepted upon yourself, it's not a strong koyach, and therefore it lends itself to your ability to back out of it, which is the way to learn. And the truth is like this, it's important to understand this. Rashi says on Amud Beis, Rashi says that, what's the pshat? The Gemara discusses a sugya, the last sugya before the next Mishnah. The Gemara says, what happens if you made a ma'aseh kinyan? You made a special kinyan to meshabed yourself that you're stuck with these judges that you accepted upon yourself. So what if it's Lifnei Gemar Din, which we pass in Imin HaChachamim, if they haven't yet handed the verdict down, you could back out. What if you made a kinyan, and you made a kinyan to Meshabbat yourself? So the Maskonis HaGemara is, Ein Achar HaKinyan Klum, that after the kinyan, you're no longer able to back out at all, even Koydin the Gemar Din. So Rashi says there a very interesting thing, Rashi right before the Mishnah. What do they make the kinyan about, Zot Rashi? Zot Rashi, Konam B'yodai, B'tchila, Shalo Yachzer. If you made a kinyan, you won't back out. You have to understand, what needs to be understood properly about this Rashi is that you made the kinyan was what, Zok Rashi? The kinyan was that you won't back out. The hainu, that really there is an obligation that you've obligated upon yourself, that you've accepted these dayonim, and they have a chalois shem dayonim klape you, apparently. So there is a din that they're your dayonim. Novas then you're able to back out. If the person makes a kinyan, shaloi yachzer bo, if he makes a kinyan that he won't back out, then mainly he's stuck by default with these judges which he's already accepted upon himself. The aim is that Rashi is not learning that the kinyan is to make the judges into judges. The judges already are judges, be'etzim, according to Rashi. The kinyan is just that you won't back out. Shalo yachzer boy. This is Rashi's statement that Rashi says over there. So it comes a klor, according to Rashi, that be'emes there's a chalois shem, according to everybody, but even according to Meir, it should come out. And so even according to Chomim, according to Gemar Din, even though at these points you're able to be chayzer boy, it takes a chazorah. If you haven't backed out, then already at that time, the judges already have a chalois shem of being the yonim klapei. That's what comes out of Rashi. Now, the minds of the Shach, the Shach over there is Mavu, he brings down the Rashi, and he says that there's a Raivon that argues in Rashi. That's the Shach says. And the Raivon, Zokter, says that it's not the Pshat that you made a Kenyan that you wouldn't back out. Rather, you made a Kenyan to Meshabbat yourself to these Dayonim, Mitchila. That says that you made them into Dayonim by means of the Kenyan that you accepted upon yourself. And the Raivon says, Zokter Shach, that if the person would word his Kenyan that he said, a kinyan shalo yachzer bo, that would be a meaningless kinyan. Because to make a kinyan that you're not going to back out is dvorim ba'almo, and a person is unable to obligate himself into the thing. Rather, you have to make the kinyan a positive, not a negative. Not a kinyan shalo yachzer bo, that you won't back out. Rather, you have to make a positive kinyan, a kinyan that I'm binding myself to these judges, and I should be stuck with these judges, accepting these judges upon myself. That's the Shach makes his machleik v'shayim. And it's possible to learn that Rashi held that the judges are judges. Judges, be be'etzem already now, even if you hold that yochel lachzavoy, even though you could back out, they're still their judges called when you didn't back out. You have the ability to back out. So that Rashi is saying, he made the kinyan shalo yachzavoy. Ma'ashein came the Ravon, it's Yitochan that he let the judges not even judges at all, calls man that you have the ability to back out. They're nothing. The kinyan that you're making is to make them into your judges, and at that point, you made the kinyan, and now they're yodayonim, so now at that point, you're stuck with them, and you're not able to back out. So them is a similar thing that we find. Rav Pavarsky over here in the Chedusha, Rav Pavarsky in the Shiurim, in Noisamuchay, asked a very basic question, which he gives two answers to, which you could see that the answers also split along these lines. Rav Pavarsky asks, what is the difference between Koidin the Gemara Din and after the Gemara Din? A basic question. The Gemara is being masik over here, that Koidin the Gemara Din, a person could back out from the judges, the Roye Bokor, or the father, or your father, my father, could back out. After the Gemara Din, you're unable to back out. What's the Chiluk and Lomdus? How do you understand this Hevdel between before the Gemara Din and after? So he says, two Tzodim, there's actually two different Mahalchim in the Shir of Dov Bavarsky. One Mahalch, Zokte, is that there's more Gemiras Das, more seriousness of binding oneself and obligating oneself after the Gemara Din than before. You want to hit the moment of the Gemara Din, the Mamash Paskening, the pronouncing the verdict. So at that point, you feel much more serious about it. And at that point, you Meshabed yourself. That's one simple Mahalch in Dov Bavarsky. The second Mahalch, though, he says, is you could say different. You could say, Zok, that the pshat is that every a person just from the Kabbalah upon himself without a Maisa Kinyan, you tell himself that this person should serve as a judge, so what you Kabbalah upon yourself, you're able to reverse. What you took on yourself, you could reverse. So, Meil, what do you take upon yourself? This person should serve as my judge. So, as calls man, that he's serving as my judge in the middle of doing the job. So I could reverse it and remove that, and now from now on, he's not serving as a judge. That's all, Zok, calls man, the verdict wasn't pronounced yet. But now that the verdict was already pronounced, so now, in order to back out, it wouldn't be sufficient to back out from having this person act as your judge. Because the person already shafted the cheftza called a psak din. He already created a gemara din. There's a gemara din, a determination on the part of the bezdin that paskin, the psak din, was already created. So here, in order if you want to back out, if you want to be choyzer boy, Zokfer Pavarsky, you would have to ruin and be soyser and destroy the gemara din. That you don't have the choyach to do. What you created, which was having this person as a die, and you made him your die, and you could back out and make him no longer your die. If that's all, so it's sufficient and it's all that's needed, so you can back out. That's quite in the Gemara Din. All you have to do is reverse him and remove him being a Dayan, and that you could do. Masha'in came after the Gemara Din when it would be necessary to destroy a Psak Din that was already created, that Yecholus you don't have. You can't destroy the Psak Din. Now, here again, if you misboin in carefully into the two Drachim of Dov Pavarsky, you could see something very important. The first Derech of Rav Pavarsky was assuming, Pasha, that there was no real Gemara Das, no real seriousness of obligating oneself until the Gemara Din. So it's very Yitochan, according to the first Derech of Pavarsky, that Pasha, nothing was created, and the person is not a judge. He doesn't have the role as a judge in Halacha, in Lomdus, as a judge, until the moment that the Gemara Din, and at that moment, I get very serious, and I obligate myself, and therefore, at that moment, I accept that this person, at that moment, I make something errant, that I'm a Kabbalah, and there's a Shibbut that's Chal on me. But until that, I'm not obligated at all, because I didn't have a true Gemara Das. But according to the second Derech of the Pavarsky, he was clearly assuming that even right from the get-go, there was an earnest disaster that the person created. You created that to make this person into your diet, and you turned him into your diet. Now, then I'm able to be choyzer boy. So that he's making a chiluk. If you want to be choyzer boy, you could utilize that efsherius, that ability to be choyzer boy. But that's only calls man that all that's necessary is to be choyzer from his serving as a judge, which means before the Gemara Din. Because once he created the Gemara Din, it wouldn't be sufficient to back down from him serving as a judge. You would have to destroy the psak din as well, that you can't do. So you see clearly that according to the second Derech of Pavarsky, he was actually assuming that there's an earnest character, there's a very serious acceptance of an obligation upon oneself, even at the moment of the acceptance at the beginning of the Din Torah. The only thing is, you're retaining a certain right to reverse it, and that right to reverse it has its limitations. That's what Pavarsky is learning in the second Derech, and limitations hit the wall at the time of the Psak Din, and no longer you're going to be able to nutz the mois. You're not going to be able to utilize that ability to be choiz anymore, because you can't destroy the Psak. So you see clearly in the Pavarsky as well, in these two Drachim of his, that there's really two different ways to understand this concept of Yochel Achzer, is the Pshat because there's nothing really binding upon me now, one way to learn, or the other way to learn, like we saw that there really is something binding, so they have the ability to reverse it, and you're like Rashi, for example, said before, you could reverse it, but if you make a Kinyan, the Kinyan is goofy to remove the ability to reverse, and the male you'll be stuck with the judge, like we said. Now, the Mefarshim Matzeh over here, they work hard on trying to understand what exactly the halachic mechanism it is that stops me from being choizer according to the Chachamim. Remember that we're talking the person did not make any kinyan. The Gemara spoke out that if you did make a kinyan, then the kinyan is getting binding, etc., etc. But we're talking about that there was no kinyan that was made, and afal pikein, the person just made a verbal statement. Ne'eman alai abo, ne'eman alai shloisha roya bakar, I'll accept this person, that person has a dayan. And according to Chachamim, you can't back out. According to Maskanas Gemara, you can't back out. After the Gemara Din, but whatever it is, it seems to be that there's something that was created with Dvarim B'Alma. All it is, it appears to have been just words. There was no kinyan that was made. So what exactly, which halacha, which lomdus is being used to bind this Baal Din and make him stuck with the statement that he made? And Bemis, there's more than one derech on this in the Meforshim. In the Rabbi Ashbam, in Besat HaBaba Basa, Kufchof Chesam Ad Aleph, where the Gemara brings down our Mishnah, the Ramban is Mavur throughout the sugi over there, that he understood that it goes to with Haiduas Baal Din. The Rashbam doesn't elaborate on this much to explain it too much in detail, but he says it clearly, that the vort is that, in this case, and in the parallel case, is a kind of sugi over there, but throughout the sugi, the Rashbam learns that the sugi is about Hadoas Baal Din. So therefore, the Moshul, apparently, what seems to emerge from the Rashbam, which he doesn't spell out the fairs, what seems to emerge is that if I say, Neman alai shloisha roye bokor, so I accept these roye bokor, these ignorant people on the judges, and thus I say, they pronounce the verdict against me, so there's a Hadoas Baal Din, that it was moida, that taka, the judgment goes the other way. And the other side, and Hadoas Baal Din is Kamei Eden Dami, and therefore I lose. That's what emerges from the Rashbam. Now, the Chazon Ish in Sanhedrin and Simon Yud Zayin, so the Chazon Ish brings down this Rashbam, and the Chazon Ish, very matter-of-factly and somewhat cryptically, says that the Kavanah of the Rashbam is something called Kinyan Oidisa, and the Rashbam quotes the Sugya in Baba Basra on Kuf Mem Tesam at Aleph, where the Gemara discusses Kinyan Oidisa. Now, this is definitely a Mechudus Dik Rashbam, and he doesn't really, Chazon Ish, he doesn't comment too much on the fact that he's taking this out of the Rashbam, even though the words are not really there in the Rashbam. Nonetheless, the Chazon Ish is clear, it is the way he understood it. So let's take it just a moment on Kinyan Oidisa, just a moment, not a whole arichus, and just talk about the tzustel, about how this idea of the Chazon Ish, the Rashbam, meant this idea. Now, Kinyan Oidisa, which is a big tumult in a number of Rishonim, Achronim, in the Keshev, the Sugya, in Vasa Kuf Mem Tes, Kinyan Oidisa is basically an idea that, let's say, I want to give something over to you, and it's not practical to make any Maisa Kinyan like a Mashiach or a Masira or a Hagbo, different types of Kinyan, and that punkt happens to be impractical. So it comes out of the sugya in Baba Basra, the way that some learn it, that you can make a Kinyan Oidisa, which is to say, I'm making an official statement that I admit it's yours. I'm hereby admitting it's yours. It happens to be that it's not yours. It's really mine. But the statement that I'm admitting it's yours, in and of itself, is going to serve as a Kinyan. It's an admission. The admission itself serves as a Kinyan, and that admission itself transfers it over to you. It seems from the Achroinim that Kinyan Oidisa works with Gemiras Das. So it says that since Hoidoas Baal Din is such a very, very strong and powerful thing, Hoidoas Baal Din is Kimeya Edim in terms of believability. If I make a statement that's a Baal Din, it's to my detriment, so it has tremendous believability, and automatically it's believed against me. So, even if the Emes Klapi Shmaya is against what I said, and I made a statement which is actually not true, but by making that statement which is believed against me, that itself, it gives over, it demonstrates a tremendous Gemiras Das, and in its case, the seriousness of being willing to give it over, and therefore the statement itself is makne it to the kine, it gives it over to the other party, even if previously Klapi Shmaya wasn't it. And that's Kinyan Oidisa. Chazon Ish is learning that when the Rashbam says that we're learning in the sugya with Hadoas Baal Din, it does not actually mean that I'm admitting, and Pashat admitting with a simple admission, Hadoas Baal Din Kamei Eidin Dami. Hadoas Baal Din Kamei Eidin Dami, of course, doesn't work with Kenyan. Hadoas Baal Din Kamei Eidin Dami means if I admit that the money in my wallet is yours, then Bezin says, okay, so I'm believed that it's yours, and therefore you're able to take it because of the believability that my statement has. It's not a question of Kenyan. The Chazon Ish learned up in the Rashbam that the Rashbam says our mission works with Hadoas Baal Din does not mean that I'm really admitting, and therefore my admission is believed that it's really Be'emes, not mine. But rather, the way he's learning is that I'm giving it to you with a Kinyan Oidisa. I'm accepting upon myself that whatever these psak of these dayonim, these roye bokor, this my father, your father, whatever they paskin, is going to be accepted 100% by me, and such that even if it's not the MS, I'm still making the statement that it is the MS, and therefore that statement itself is a Kinyan Oidisa. It's a statement of accepting a reality to one's detriment, and therefore it itself will serve as a Kinyan.
The pshat in the Chazon Ish would appear to be, he doesn't answer the question. The obvious question is, why not learn the Rashbam Kipshutoi? Just say that I admitted it, and therefore it's not mine. That's the simple words of the Rashbam. Why can't you just say, because it's a believability issue, because I admitted it? The Chazon Ish doesn't elaborate too much, but he says a few short words, and the Kavanah seems to be simple, because the Chazon Ish was assuming that the regular Doth Badin can't possibly work over here, because in fact I'm not admitting to anything specific. It's one thing if I admit that I owe you $1,000, I admit that this table is really yours, I admit that share really belongs to you. All these things are believable, and they're a statement of fact which is accepted when I make it if it's to my own detriment. However, over here I didn't make any statement about any circumstance, any mitzvahs. What I said was that I accept your father as a judge, I accept the Rebbe Bucher as a judge, and if I carry it, I'm hoping against hope that they're going to be the judge, they'll pass in to my benefit, they'll pass in to my, before me, not against me. So where is the simple Idos Baldin Kamei Eidim in this case? So that's clearly what was bothering the Chazon Ish. Of them at the Chazon Ish Kizok, that's where Chazon Ish came through and he answered that in fact it doesn't go through with the regular din of Idos Baldin, but rather it goes through with Kinyan Oidisa, and the Emes says that even that is a Chiddush. Because the truth is, if this is the kind of a statement that doesn't really contain an admission about a particular set of facts, which it doesn't, so it's a Chiddush to even call it a Kinyan Oidisa. Nonetheless, apparently the Chazon Ish understood that what I'm basically saying is that whatever the judge has determined is going to be a statement that I accept as fact, and therefore it's automatically going to serve at the least as a kinyan. So let's say the bezin comes out and they paskin that this table which we're fighting over is not mine, it's yours. So I have stated that I'm accepting their verdict as the fact. The fact is the table is yours, such that even if it's really mine, the table is konui to you with this concept called the kinyan edisa. And that appears to be how the Chazon Ish learned and how it's medayik from the Rashbam.
Rabbanan Wasserman in the Kovetz Ha'oros in Yevamos was medayik from a Rosh in Yevamos, a very, very different mahalach, a different approach from that of the Rashbam here. Rabbanan makes the following Ha'ora on the Rosh in Yevamos. It says in Masechta Yevamos that when you're doing a bezdin for a chalitza, you need a bezdin of Yisroel, veloy bezdin shel geirim. That's what the Gemara says, that the bezdin has to be Yisroel, and they're not allowed to be geirim. Tosfos and the Rishonim ask a kash over there, that the Gemara is a pella. Why do you have to have a special posik? By the bezdin of a chalitza, to exclude the bezdin of geirim. Typically, that a filo by dini mumnis the halacha is the geirim apostle. It's a regular standard halacha by any bezin that you can't use geirim. You have to use Yisraelim. You can't use geirim. So if that's the case, frek to toisvis, why in the world do we need an independent, separate pasuk? It's really a pamish pasuk by chalitza. The nikkur shmoi b'yisrael. They have a special pasuk by chalitza that the word b'yisrael is a mayat the geirim. What's the need for a special pasuk? The rush on this answers a remarkable teretz. And for the rush, it's the kroz. Zok the rush. You need the pasuk to a case where the protagonist, that means that the ish and the isha of the chalitza, were makabel the geir upon themselves. And vibal zok the rosh, since that by dini mumnis it does help to make a kabbalah, like we find that the rosh quotes our mishnah that in dini mumnis the halacha is you could say nemar alay abba and nemar alay avicha, etc. So you mean you could accept psulim upon yourself. So meila, I would have thought that it would then by a chalitza the ish and the isha could accept the psulim upon themselves, the geirim who are intrinsically puzzle, they could accept the geirim upon themselves, and meila it would be a good bezin. That's the chiddush of the pasuk by chalitza, even kabbalah is not ma'ani, even accepting the psulim, and therefore geirim are no good, even if you makabel them upon yourself. Zokta b'chanan, you see that this rush is mamash a bombshell of a chiddush. Why? Zokta, because this rush would have learned in this Mishnah, Kipshutoi, like some of the other Mephoshim learned, it wouldn't make any sense. Let's say, for example, he learns like the Rashbam, and Rabbi Chanan actually quotes the Rashbam about Hidoh, he doesn't get into it. He says some learn that this Mishnah goes through the Hidoh Asbaldin, others learn that the Mishnah goes through with Mechila, he says that I was Moichalit, if the verdict comes out against me, I'm automatically being Moichalit, and therefore you get it. There's different ways to learn, Zat Rabbi Chanan, but if you're going to learn any of these Mahalchim, so Tainach by Dinim Mamnis, where Hidoh Asbaldin works, where Kenyan works, where Mechila works, all these things work by Dinim Mamnis, so I could have this idea that I say, Abu or the Shloisha Raya Bakar, and automatically the moment they pass in the verdict and it's against me, so the Hidah, the Mechila, etc. kicks in. But how in the world would I have even a Havamina to extrapolate from there to make the Tushdel to Chalitza, which is then Isser, and which Hadas Baldin doesn't work in Kenyan, Mechila, all these things don't have any Shaychah to Chalitza. So therefore, what was the Havamina to say that you could use Psulim by a Chalitza just because you could use a Bezin of Psulim by a Dinim Mamnis, which over there is Zatu Bachan al-Khar, the Lumdus is not a Lumdus of Dayanim, it's not a Lumdus of an Emes of Bezin. The Pashtus is that it's not
working with it because they don't become a bezin. The pshat is because you accepted oidos baldin, you accepted a kinyan oidisa, you made a mechila. Those, none of those things have any shaychas to really making the bezin an emes a real bezin. It's just that once the bezin announces their verdict, so my mechila kicks in or my oidos kicks in. So where is there a havamina from there to make a true bezin, which is of course what you need for a chalitza? So the bechon is muchrach from there that the rosh argued on the Rashbam and the argued on the Rishayim. And the rosh hashita was that there's a koyach and the person's kabbalah of a bezin to make psulim into ksherim. The Rabbanan doesn't elaborate too much on what the shayush of this koyach is, but he said, Koponim Azoy state in this mission, according to the Rosh, that even though you have people who are possible to be a dayan and they intrinsically can't be a dayan, but if I accept them upon myself, I make them into a dayan. And that's what's coming out of this mission, and that's why the Rosh was saying that in Chalitza it was having to do exactly the same thing. The Ish and the Isha take these dayanim, the gerim, they're really possible intrinsically for Mishpatei HaTorah, they can't be bezdin. But now that I'm a kabbal, I take the psulim and make them into ksherim. And Melech would have said that you could use the gerim for a bezdin. That's when you're a special pasuk. By Chalitza, to tell a special pasuk be Yisrael, that even if you makabal it upon yourself, it still doesn't work. So Bachanan says, you see, the unique shitas harosh that we're really saying in this Mishnah is that the Kabbalah makes the pasul ayonim and turns them into ksherim. So to Bachanan, but that's the shitas harosh that's unique to the Rosh's opinion, and other Rishonim would disagree. The Rashbam we quoted before, that Ram says that this Mishnah is going to Hidwas Baldin, or Kenyan Aydinsa, he's going to hold that Avada your Kabbalah of the psulim into a bezvin, into a dayonim, is not able to give upon them a shem dayonim b'chlal. Under Afal P. Kane, what it will do is, over Meshabe, do with the Kenyan Aydinsa, even though these dayonim have not be'etzim turned into dayonim. Now, Bachana makes a tzushtel to this, another place in Rishonim where you find that Avada a Kabbalah can't take psulim and turn them into ksherim. So the Bachana says like this. In Masechta Shavuos, the Gemara discusses the halachos of a korban shvua. A korban shvua is a case where there's different cases. A case where a person knows edus for his friend and refuses to be made, and the friend imposes an oath on him, a mashbiach ha'ani, that you don't know the edus. If you know the edus, he'll testify. So he accepts the edus, the oath, the shvua upon himself, and he takes this oath that he doesn't know any edus. And the emes is that you did know the edus. Halacha is, and you might later on that you have to bring this korban shvua. Now the Ran in Masechta Shavuos brings in a Yerushalmi that an aid posel is potter from a korban shvuas ha'edus. Now, what exactly does it mean, an aid posel? So, let's say I am insisting that you testify for me and that you know edus for me, and you refuse to do so, but the emes says that you were an aid posel anyway, if for whatever reason, the posel of psula guf, a gazlan, whatever the case may be. So, if you're a posel anyway, then halacha is going to be the potter from a korban shvuas. Now, the emes, that's obvious because your edus wouldn't have done anything for me anyway, since you're savior a posel. However, the Ran over there brings in the Yerushalmi that an aid posel is potter from a korban shvuas ha'edus. Afilu, even if kibluhu habale din, that says even if the bale din say beferish, that if you come in and testify, you're a apostle, you're a koroif, or you're a gazlan, whatever you are, a psula guf, but if you come in and testify, then we will accept your testimony. So over there, if you would have come in, your testimony would have been effective. And afal pikein, when you refuse to do so and you accept the oath, then you're going to be putter later on from a korban shvua. Why? Because the pasuk says v'hu aids oiro oyo. That the pasuk in Vayikra who aid, an apostle is not called an aid, and a filo if the bali didn't accept it upon themselves. Afal pikein, it's felt the shem aid. He's not called an aid because he's an apostle and a mele. Therefore, he's mufka. He's excluded from the mishpatei atayra, from the dini atayra. He's excluded from being mechayev a korban shvua. It's zokt the Rabbi Chanan that you see that the Ran was learning over there. Talking about an aid, but Rabbi Chanan apparently makes it sushtel, and he says you see that the Ran was learning b'shein the Yushalmi that you don't have such a thing. That a person who's a puzzle, but if I accept it upon myself, then he gets the shem of a dayan in this case, or an aid in that case. We're saying not like that in the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is being vur that even though if we would accept this aid, so I'd be stuck with it. I'm a shabbat myself, and I accept it upon myself, so I'd be stuck with what the aid says. But afal pikein, it wouldn't turn the aid himself into an aid. It wouldn't give him a shem aid, and mele, therefore, there would not be a din of korban shvua, which it seems to be Chanan understood that that's against the Rosh over here, who says that a Kabbalah could turn a puzzle of dayan into a dayan. Now, but then Rabbi Chanan writes, Maisa, he doesn't really understand that Ran the Yerushalmi anyway. He says, that much is mavur, is that it seems to be clear over there that a Kabbalah will not take a posel aid and turn it into a kosher aid. That much is clear. But Afal Pikein, Zata Bechonon, he said the whole thing is really shver because L'chayr we find a clear raya that Korban Shua Sa'edus doesn't really need an Emes Hashem aid. He says the raya to this thing is that we find that The halacha is, let's say a woman demands of a man that he should come into Bezin and testify that he saw her husband deceased, Meis Baila. Now, if he'll come in and testify, she'll be mutal l'shuk, but she'll also get money, she'll get her ksuba. So therefore, this is very negat to mumnet for the isha. If the guy denies with an oath and later on admits, he has to bring a carbon shulah for edus. He has to bring a carbon because by virtue of the fact that he refused to testify and he made the oath, he deprived her of the money of the ksuba that was coming to her. Zotav b'chanan, over there, by Meis Baila, it's absolutely clear, it's a dinder abonon, like you have all the sugis in Yivamis, it's only a dinder abonon. His whole nemonis of an edechad would only be a derabonadik and nemonis. And afal pikein, the halacha still is that even though the whole thing is derabonon ba'alma, and at the raisa level he's not believed, still, since the metzius is, the fact is, that had he come in and testified, she would have gotten that money of the ksuba, so therefore, he's chayv ashuas edus, because he deprived her of the money that if she would have gotten the metzius. If you're going to look at the shem kosher in the eyes of the Torah, one aid is not called kosher in the eyes of the Torah, he might see mamon. So if you look, kosher be'eni ha-Torah, he doesn't have this quality, he's only one aid, but that can't be might see mamon. But vimbal, that the din is after the Tekonas Chazal of Eidus Isha Meis Baila. Chazal was talking that when it is good and when it is believed, then she can even get the Ksuba. So after the Tekonas, the Metzius says that that aid would have made the difference and she could have gotten the Ksuba. Therefore, he's Chayav HaKorban Shvua. So Zotav HaChana L'Chayra, he doesn't really understand why it's any different from the case over here. Over here also, even though you're an eight apostle in the eyes of the Torah, but since they will Mekabel you upon themselves, so therefore, you could have made the difference by coming in and testified and you could have gotten the money out of this guy into the hands of the other guy. You would have made that difference. So the chayr you see from Meis Baila, Zot HaBachanon, that it doesn't go by whether you have a Shem Kosher in the Eine HaTorah, but rather it goes by whether Mitzius, you could have gotten the money into this person's hands, and that you could have, and that's why this is the Yisrael of Meis Baila. So then over here also, Zot there, if they're Makabal, they'd upon themselves, even though the Eid L'Chayr is a Shem Posel, and that's the Yisrael of the Ram Bishin Yushalmi, the Kabbalah won't make him into a Kosher, Aval Bikin is still a Shtikl Shver, Zot there, that why shouldn't he be Chayr of the Karman Shvuah anyway, simply by virtue of the fact that you could have been Moitzi Momoin with the statement that you would have made in the Bezdin. Rabbi Chanan is mefalpel on this Indian over there. The next Mishnah gives a list of psulim, the Elohim psulim, where Rashi says that these psulim people are psulim, lodun ulahoyed. So they're possible both from judging as well as from being edim. The first individual in the list of psulim is Mesachim Bekuvya, which is people who engage themselves in some form of a gambling, and these people who gamble for money, so they're going to be possible for Lodun and Lahoyd. Why are they possible for Lodun and Lahoyd? There's actually two opinions in the Gemara, the opinion of Rambam Chama and the opinion of Rav Sheshes. Rambam Chama says that the reason is because they're engaged in taking money in the manner of something which was just an asmachta, and asmachta is not koine. Now, just a brief discussion of this, Mr. Shem, come back to this tomorrow, Bli Neder, in the whole extensive sugya, but just a brief description right now. So asmachta, as you're aware, is when I obligate myself, but only because of the fact that I fully 100% hope and expect, hoping against hope, expecting against expecting, that the detrimental circumstance will never come about. And that's really why I obligated myself, only simply because of that hope that the detrimental circumstance wouldn't come about. If I died to the hochi that I would have known the detrimental circumstance would have come about, I would perhaps not have obligated myself at all. So therefore, there's a lack, perhaps, of seriousness, of serious acceptance of the obligation, and we have opinions that hold asmachta lekanya, and therefore that's the problem with Sachar Bekuvya doing the gambling. The person gambles, he puts the money into the pot, that's only because he's hoping against hope, the expectation, the optimistic expectation that's going to go to him, and that's the only reason. If you know the pot would be lost to you, you wouldn't have obligated yourself. So therefore, when Yenim wins and he takes the pot, I didn't fully accept upon myself to give it over, according to Rambam Chama, and asmachta is not koine. And that's why these people are gazlonim, and Meila, therefore the apostle, the Rabbanim, we'll talk more about this in the Sashem coming up, perhaps tomorrow. Rav Sheshes argues on this thing, and Rav Sheshes says that Kol Ki Agavna is not called an asmachta. This is not sufficiently lacking in the Gemara's Das to call it an asmachta. Rashi says, by the way, that the reason for that is because, even though it's certainly true that you were hoping for a good outcome, aber vibalt, that you knew that ultimately it's out of your hands because you're playing a game of chance. It's a game of chance, and therefore it's the luck of the draw. So since you knew it was out of your hands, you fully accepted upon yourself the repercussions of perhaps losing everything that's in the pot. Meila, Rashi says, this is not. If it would be that I fully expect that I will be able to do something, I will be able to take care of the situation, and therefore I won't get the detrimental outcome, that would be an asmachta. Rashi gives a couple of examples, but over here where I know I'm subject to chance, I do fully obligate myself, and it's not a true asmachta. Rather, the pshat according to Sheshes, why the Pesach B'Kuvya is puzzle, is Lefi, Shein, because they're not that are productively engaged, productively occupied in something that benefits civilization. Then always can be shuvish alelu. That's actually somewhat cryptic. What exactly is the problem? So what? So they're not. The people are apparently all day gambling, not doing anything which is a productive occupation. So what's the difference? So Rashi says something not fully clear. Rashi says that the reason is that since they're not involved in the occupied, positive, constructive ways of the world, so therefore the einim bekiyam betevdinim masu matan ve'einim yirei chet. In other words, such a person is a ladygayer, a playboy lifestyle, and he doesn't occupy himself in a serious way in commerce and in making money and in transactions with others. So therefore, he ends up not being a yirei chet. A person engages in transactions ends up taking seriously the concept of transactions and is a yirei chet. These people are not a yirei chet, and if they're not a yirei chet, they're not going to take seriously the notion of giving the money to the wrong guy, getting it to the wrong person. Therefore, they'll testify falsely, they'll paskin falsely, and they can't be an eider adayin. This is Rashi Shita. The Meiri elaborates a little further along these lines, and the Meiri actually says that in the course of these games of chance, these gambling games that the gambler engages in, he gets into the habit of engaging in some sort of deceptiveness, deceptive maneuvers, falsehoods, deceptiveness, that's all part of the cards or the games of chance that he's playing. And once he gets into the habit of lying, as Dr. Meiri, and there's no negative consequence that comes to him as a result of the lying, he thinks he can lie in everyday life and get away with it there too, which he's not used to everyday life, and he may end up lying as an aid or as a dayan. Likewise, the Meiri also adds another point, that people, apparently they're able to live this kind of life of luxury, a life of just sitting around and not having to work hard for a living. So therefore, they're not makirim b'toyrach v'tzoroi shavani odom zaktam iri. These people are not, they don't understand the distress and the suffering that people have to go through to make a living. V'einam chosim al chavireihem lahafsim amoinam. They don't have any chos, they don't have any compassion on their friends. The fact that they're causing them to lose their money, it doesn't mean much to them, because to them, money comes, money goes, and therefore we don't want it to be an aid or a dayan. Finally, the Rambam says an interesting thing. In the parish of Mishnayos, the Rambam seems to go with a different approach, and the Rambam says it seems to be in the Rambam that the etzem fact that these people are being unproductive with their lives, gufa makes them into people we wouldn't want them to be an aide or a judge. The Rambam says, Ha'odom ein roilus asik bo'ilam hazeh, elo be'echa b'shnei dvorim. Either Torah, he says, or malacha, either learning Torah or parnasa, people who spend their whole life sitting around and playing games and gambling or doing nothing with their lives, that itself makes them intrinsically objectionable that they should serve as an aide or a dayan. Really needs a head, but that's the truth. Because L'chaira, it's very nice, it's unfortunate and all that, but L'maisa, why do you disqualify this guy as being an aide? So we'll talk a little bit about the Shittas HaRambam, the way it emerges from the Yad, the very, very big chiddush that comes out of the Yad, and the way that the Achronim grapple with it and explain what the Rambam says in the Yad. And that might help to explain a little bit deeper meaning to what it says in the Perish of Mishnayos. Now, the Ran over here in the Chiddush HaRan is Oymen, but it seems to be a big stira in the Rambam in the Yad HaChazokah. In the Yad HaChazokah and the Rambam, in two different places, he discusses this, that you can't be an eid or a dayan if you're Mesachah B'Kuvi, you spend your time gambling. And in Hilchos Gzeila, in Perek Vov, the Rambam says that the reason is because people who engage in gambling is gezel midivreihem, the Rambam says. Even though the Bailam willingly gave it over, but he didn't really mean to give it over, he wasn't expecting to have to give it over. So, it's gezel midivreihem, the Rambam says. Actually, the Lashon Rambam, which we'll talk about a little, is even though Berotzen Bailam Lokach, you took it there, schoik v'hissel v'hareze gezel. An unclear Rambam, which we'll talk a little about, it was taken not in a serious manner of giving it over to you, but rather in a manner of schoik and hissel, frivolity, and not a seriousness, and that's a type of gezel d'rabbanan. Okay, so that's why you puzzle if you gamble. In Hilchos Eidos, in Perek Yud, the Rambam says that the reason why this individual who's Pesach B'Kuvya can't be an aid is because if he doesn't have any umnis, he's not oisik b'yishuv ha'olam, this person doesn't have a profession, he sits around and gambles the whole day, he's not involved in the civilization, the settlement of the world, so therefore, he's b'chezkas, and he's eating from the kuv yeshua v'gezel. A very, actually, unclear Rambam, that's the truth, that Rambam says it seems to be based upon the fact that you don't have any profession. If you don't have a profession, what are you living on? So what are you living on? You're apparently living off of your profits from the gambling table. That is avak gezel, the dust of gezel, Rambam calls it, and that's the problem. So, they happen to be the Magid Mishnah really asked the Kasha and Blayapay Tzorochian. That's the truth. He says it's a steer in Rambam. In one place, Rambam seems to indicate the problem is, so along the lines of what Rev Roim Bachoma says in the Gemara, that it's an Asmachta, because in Hilchos Gzeila he seems to say it's a Gezel Devram, it's a Gzeila on the Rabbanon level, because he took it there, Schoik Vehissel, there wasn't the seriousness. But in Hilchos Eidos, he seems to pass on like Avsheshes, that the problem is that you're not Oisek, but you're not occupied productively. So, what's the story? How do you get around this steer? The Magid Mishnah doesn't have a good terrace, and he leaves it with a question. However, the Ran over here, in the Chedusha HaRan, who is Oymer on this same steer, says that you see from this Rambam a very important point, which the Ran is independently maskim, he independently agrees with this Rambam. And that is that the Ran says that in and of itself, the fact that these individuals are not Oysek b'Yeshuvah Sha'olim, they're not occupied with the civilization, with the betterment of people, is not all by itself an acceptable reason to pass them totally from being an aid or a die. And it's certainly not from being an aid. I mean, this is the one way I'm going to get my money, is this person knows my testimony, and you're really going to knock him out simply because this guy is not Oysek in Yeshuvah Sha'olim? How could that be? So therefore, says the Ran, the Rambam understood that any Oysek Yeshuvah Sha'olim has to be mitzarif, it has to come together with another factor in addition, and that's the only way that it could passel somebody. And that other factor, says the Ran rather cryptically, without fully explaining, that other factor is the idea that it's an avak gezel, which is a Lashon Rambam we said before, there is an avak gezel. This haste azoy, even though, like we'll see the Yochanan talk about, even though Ram Chom is not going that it's an asmachta, and therefore, consequently, there really was a sufficient level of willingness, of rotzoin and das, to give it over on the gambling table, and I knew what I was getting into, and therefore it's yours after the fact. And if you take it, you take your winnings, you're not over on any kind of theft, and the money is yours. Afal Pikein, in the language of the Rambam, that money is called avak gezel, it's the dust of gezel, because since it was given over, like the Lashon Rambam, not in the derech of an earnest, a serious transaction, but rather in a manner of frivolity and an expectation, I was really hoping I won't have to give it over to you, and I said, so I'll just give it over, I lost. So that is avak gezel, and therefore, in such a case, since it's an avak gezel, there is an epis and issa derabbanan in the taking of the money, even though the money belongs to you. Chazal were goyzer a takana, not to consider the money to be gezel and something which you're not allowed to hold on to, but there is an issa in taking it, even though the money is yours, and afal pikein, there's an issa of avak gezel on that money. That din of avak gezel, zogt the Ran, is going to come together, like we'll have to talk about a little. It comes together as mistarif with the fact that the guy is not osik b'yeshuvi shal oylam, and together it's going to passel the person of being an aid. And the Ran says it actually is a raya to this yisoid. It sounds surprising, but there's a raya to it, because as a stam gemora in Mesech the Shabbos al Kof Mem Tes, where it talks about dividing up different portions, different size portions at the table, and it says that you should not divide it up with a lottery, even b'choil, because of the problem of kuvya, the gemora says. It divided up, and he made a lottery, and the lottery is that each person picks out his ticket, and he's hoping that he'll win, he'll get the bigger piece, and in Mela, that's similar to the din of kuvya, and therefore, the gemara is a stam gemara, but that didn't bring down any machloikas or anything, it just says in Mela, no way, that even b'choil, you're not supposed to apportion the different sized portions of the lottery. In Zakta Ran, you see that even if you hold it, it's not an asmachta. Afal Pikein, there would still be this so-called avak gezel of the Rambam, because of the fact that it wasn't given with a true, full heart. Now, the Sma and the Bir Hagro, the Goin and Shulchan Aruch, both elaborate on this tziruf of these two nekudos in the Rambam, and they explain as follows. In other words, being mitzaref, the avak gezel, with the fact that the person not oisik b'yeshuvah sha'olam. And the Sma says an interesting thing. He says, you have to ask yourself, this gambler, he says, you have gamblers that they play for the sport, they play for the leisure of it, and if they have winnings, they just plow the winnings back into the next game, and they keep on playing. So such a person, Zokta Sma, is not really playing in order to benefit, to eat off of the proceeds, to live off the proceeds, but it's something that keeps him going, and he enjoys the pleasure of it, and whatever he wins, he just plows right back into it. Other people, Zokta Sma, those individuals are going to need the money to live off the gambling winnings, and they'll buy food, they'll buy lunch with it. Zokta, that's the chiluk, Zokta Sma, between the person who is Oisik b'yeshuvah sha'olam and has a profession, has an independent parnasa, or the person has no independent parnasa, because in the Lashon Rambam, what does the Rambam say? If you have no independent parnasa, the Rambam says in the Yad, is b'cheskas sha'oichel men ha'kovya shu avakez, b'cheskas that he's eating from the kovya. That's the Rambam is saying, b'cheskas sha'oichel men ha'kovya. Zok desma, there's a specific word like this. This iser of avak gezel, that Safko Safo was given now with a full heart, is a lesser iser d'rabbanon, and a mela therefore in intrinsically in itself, it wouldn't passel you from being an aid or a die in just the fact that you were over on that iser. But if you're being over on that iser for the purpose of benefiting from it, for the purpose of buying lunch, for the purpose of paying your rent with it, that means that you're doing isur and darabonon because of a chemdas momoin, because you need the money and you want to benefit from the iser darabonon. That's the pshat in the individual who is doing the avak gezel and not oisik b'shuvah, he doesn't have a parnasa, which means he's living off of his ill-gotten gains. He's living off of the avak gezel Aveir that he did. Such a person, Zok the Sma, we have to be choishin him shtendig that maybe he'll testify falsely for pay, he may judge falsely for pay, and we certainly have to pass on such an individual as an aid or a dayan. If that's the yisoid, and the Goyin elaborates further on this, he brings his mind, elaborates further on it, that the pshat is, the Goyin, that be'emes is, that there are isur and d'abonon that would passel the person, even if he had a profession. You do a isur d'abonon, you can't, which is connected with mumnis, so you're not going to be able to be an aid or a dayan. But over here, it was only an avak gezel, it was a lesser isur d'abonon, and a mela, therefore, since it was only an avak gezel, that isur avak gezel doesn't have what it takes in and of itself to passel you. Aber, if it's being done for the purpose of supporting you, so that you could take from those proceeds and you can eat off of it, it misparnes over because you have no other parnasa. So such an individual is doing isurim for the purpose of getting a parnasa out of it, the purpose of living off the proceeds. That's who is saying, that's a pshat in the Rambam. That's how Rambam learned up any oisik b'yeshuvah shel oilam, zok the goin, and the sma. This person is not oisik b'yeshuvah shel oilam, he's making his living off of the avak gezel that he's doing. If that's the case, and it's not stam an isad abonim, isad abonim is misparnes from it. If such a person, he has to be choishish, that he'll testify falsely for the purpose of mispandas over that he'll judge falsely for the purpose of mispandas over that, and maybe that's what I'm saying, he's possible from being an aid or a diet.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf and shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.